Dear Mort, I'm in the Lone Ranger track, and my husband and I are separated. When I call a talk charge, occasionally my spouse picks up. After I deliver my talk charge, he wants to have a conversation. Often he wants to share that he's been thinking of our situation. Should I listen? As he is sharing his feelings with me, and this might be the closest thing to date night. Or am I just supporting his story? I'm careful not to agree with it or get mad, and I'm working to stay humble. His story is that it's too late. If only we did or knew things earlier, but he wants to be friends and split amicably. Thank you for taking my question, Barbara. Okay, so look, you certainly, I appreciate your question because basically, if I could just elaborate on it, your question is more, you're teaching us not to talk about the situation, not to talk about the problems and the issues, not to talk about the marriage, say little and do much, and instead try to renew the marriage not by talking but by doing, by engaging and interacting in ways that have the chance of being productive and building goodwill. But my husband keeps coming to me, wants to talk to me about this situation. So the answer here is not simple, nor can I make it straightforward. On the one hand, you do want to try to avoid those conversations as best you can. They're not going to be productive. They're not going to be helpful. And you certainly don't want to engage your husband in those conversations. I'll get back in a second to what I mean by that and what the distinction is between engaging and still having a conversation. But anyway, you know, they're not going to be productive. You don't really want to have them, and you want to try to avoid as many of them as possible. On the other hand, there is a judgment call that has to be made here, because it's not like, you know, when it comes to you initiating those discussions, so all the advice that I've given you and you've heard in the program is straightforward and 100%, and that is don't do it. Don't have those conversations. Don't bring up the problems, the marriage, the issues, the relationship, the past, the other man, the other woman. Don't discuss it. I'm not going to get, you know, you've heard me talk about my whole speech about how marriages don't get saved because of anything you say. They get saved because of what you do. Say little, do much. Speak in the vocabulary of your actions. So when it comes to you, my advice is straightforward and 100%. Never bring up the problems and the issues and have those kinds of discussions. But that's not exactly Barbara's question. Barbara is saying, hey, my husband's coming to me, and he wants to talk about it. How do I handle that? So again, I don't expect the conversation to be productive. You should avoid as many of them as possible. But because it's him coming to you, it is a little trickier, and there is a bit of a judgment call to be made here. What's the judgment call? Well, you've got to be careful that your husband doesn't feel that he's unheard. You have to be careful that he doesn't feel like you're ignoring him. It's really, you know, bad and when the obstinate spouse does not succeed to get you to comply with their agenda, right? Their agenda is, please, can you just give up too, like I've given up, and then I would feel better about this. I wouldn't feel like the bad guy, and we could go together to end this amicably. Right? You can't do that. So it's already difficult enough that by not doing that, they feel somewhat unheard, even though I've explained to many obstinate spouses that me not being compliant with you is very different than me not hearing you. I can hear you 100%. I can demonstrate that I understand you upside down and inside out. I get you, totally get you. Do I agree? No. Am I going to be compliant? No. But that doesn't mean that you're not understood. That doesn't mean that you're not heard. So it's already bad enough that just by you not being compliant, that very often gets misunderstood as, you know, them not being heard or being ignored. If when they try to engage you in a conversation, you 100% of the time avoid the conversation and aren't a good listener, then you will be accused of ignoring them, and they will claim that they're not being heard, and to some extent they might be right. So there are occasions when if the obstinate spouse is bringing it up, you have to be a good listener. Now, here's where I want to make the distinction between being a good listener and engaging in the conversation. And it's a crucial distinction because I'm not telling you to engage in the conversation. Engage in the conversation, I mean, that's just my term, but what I mean by that is he brings up the discussion and you completely engage. You're as active and involved as he is. He says this and you say that, and he asks this and you answer that, and then you ask and he answers, and it's sort of equal participation in the feelings and the thoughts and the ideas flying around. You're contributing. It's like a fire, right? It's like a fire, and you're stoking it and feeding it as much as he is. Don't do that. Instead, what you do sometimes need to do, though, so that they don't feel ignored, so that they don't feel unheard, is you need to listen. You need to listen. You need to behave in a way so that they feel heard and they feel understood. Now, sometimes people will ask, how do I do that? If I don't engage where I'm actually participating in the conversation, how can I be sure that my husband feels like I understand him, like I'm really hearing him? So that's another question which Barbara's not asking, and I'm not going to get deep into it because it's a very difficult question to answer. And the reason it's so difficult is because it's a tough skill to teach because there are not really steps to it. You know, if you really analyze why sometimes when you're speaking, you feel that the person you're speaking to really hears you, it's hard to pinpoint why that's the case. Sometimes it's the sound of a grunt. Uh-huh. Sometimes it's the angle with which they look at you, and it's a look of curiosity, like they're really listening. Listening is a lost art. And it's not really the kind of skill where somebody can provide step-by-step instructions. It's in the way you look at somebody. It's in the sounds you make. And by the way, I hate that strategy, that technique. Let me see if I understand what you just said. And then you regurgitate back to them what they said. I think that's bogus. I think it's annoying. And I don't think it really results in people feeling understood. Okay, so you could remember what I said and regurgitate it back, but that doesn't mean you get me. Now, sometimes it's possible to respond to somebody with words in ways that they feel understood. If you can respond by saying something like, you know, sounds like you're saying, and it's not, you're not regurgitating back their words, but you've really processed what they're saying, and you give it back to them in your words in a way that demonstrates that you really get them. So that could be useful, and that could result in them really feeling understood. Now, again, there is a judgment call to be made as to how often you do this. I'm not saying that every single time the obstinate spouse tries to bring up this conversation that you do this. As I think I already said, and I just want to repeat, I would like you to try to avoid these conversations most of the time, but you just can't avoid them all of the time. There have to be some times when you listen, when they feel heard. You have to be able to say at some other time, honey, didn't we just discuss this last week? I remember we discussed this. I heard you. Why are we discussing this again?